Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 125 in the series entitled The King and the Peasant, a meditation that will melt your heart. This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, during the spring of 5761.
Following story about one of the Hasidim of the Alter Rebbe, who was known as Lazar der Krumer, Lazar the Crooked One. That was his badge of honor. And his fellow Hasidim, the Hasidim of the Alter Rebbe, his friends would call him Lazar der Krumer. He began to limp as a result of falling on the ship that took him from Constantinople, from Istanbul in Turkey, to Lyuzhna. The ship took him originally from Yafo to Turkey to Lyuzhna, because he was a resident of Jerusalem. And one evening he heard a Hasidic discourse of one of the Alter Rebbe's Chassidim who came to Yerushalayim, and it moved him so deeply he left everything behind, and the next day he was on a ship from Yafo to Turkey to Lyuzhna. Once at a Fabrengen, at a Chassidic gathering in Lyuzhna, his friends turned to him and they said, "Lazar, tell us, what's the difference between Yerushalayim and Lyuzhna? In Jerusalem you used to do Tikkun Chatzos, and in Lyuzhna you do Tikkun Chatzos." Rebbe Lazar was a very pious person, a spiritual person, and he would wake every evening at midnight, and he would recite the special prayers that we pray for the coming of Mashiach. He said, "You did that in Jerusalem, and you continue doing that in Lyuzhna by the Alter Rebbe. In Jerusalem, you used to stay awake for the remainder of the night and learn, and you do that here as well. In Jerusalem, the first thing in the morning, you would don your tefillin and you would daven, and then you would continue to learn throughout the day, totally oblivious and transcendent of all the mundane elements of the physical world, and in Lyuzhna, you do the same. So what's the difference? What compelled you to come? What were you missing?" So he responded and he said, "In fact, the answer is the same. It's just that the question changed." He said, "Back in Jerusalem, I would often think to myself that, you know, in the olden days, there were many Jews who would wake up at midnight and yearn for the redemption all night, continue to learn, daven, study, reflect, refine their characters, diligently serve Hashem. But that was in the olden days. Today," he would say to himself, "there are not too many Jews that way. And the fact that I am one of those few makes me unique. It makes me spiritually special and aloof. And I would think to myself, ah, what type of reward is expected to come from me after I live my days on this world? And then I would think to myself, where is Hashem even going to be able to create such a large Olam Haba to suit me? With such righteousness, with such piety, with such spirituality, no reward existing can actually suit my exalted identity. And then the answer was, listen, Lazar, I would tell myself, Hashem is infinite. Hashem is a Kol Yachal. Hashem is limitless. Certainly, in His limitless capacity, He will be able to create a paradise suited for you. He says in Liyajna, the answer remained the same, but the question was different. How in the world does Hashem tolerate a despicable creature like me? How is it possible that Hashem actually wants me to have a relationship with Him? How is it that I can really have a relationship with Hashem when I know that I feel my ego, I feel my sense of self, and I am essentially so remote, so distant from what truth and reality is truly all about? And then I tell myself the same answer, Hashem is limitless. And He can tolerate and He wants a relationship with a small person like you as well. So in the beginning of chapter 46, the Alter Rebbe requested from us to reflect on the words of Shlomo HaMelech in Proverbs, in Mishlei Perek Chav Zayin Pasuk Yutes, that Kamayim Haponim Leponim Kein Lev HaAdam LaAdam. As water reflects a face back to a face, so is the heart of man to man. As the Alter Rebbe explained, that water reflects the face you present to it back to you. Water is like a mirror. It automatically reflects to you the face you present to it. So the very face that you bestow upon the water will bestow upon you in return. If you're smiling, the water will reflect to you a smiling countenance. And if you look angry, the water will reflect to you an angry demeanor. And the same is Lev HaAdam LaAdam, the heart of man to man. When you bestow love and loyalty and affection towards another human being, that person's heart will reflect back to you the same emotion you have presented to him. The emotion you give to another person comes back to you from that individual. So when somebody truly cares for me and genuinely loves me, the Alter Rebbe said, naturally and automatically, that display of affection and concern towards me is reflected automatically in my heart towards him. He begins to matter to me, just like I matter to him. I begin feeling a love towards that individual. And the Alter Rebbe said that this is the nature that is biologically ingrained in every single human being. And I guess every single one of us can try it. Demonstrate true concern for another human being. When I was learning Tanya with a while ago with one of my Tanya teachers, so I asked him to explain it better. So he said, you can't explain it, you have to try it. Try to, as difficult as it is, try to demonstrate true concern towards another human being. But it has to be genuine. Try to care for a person for one day. Just really care for them. And you'll see the response. Inherently, that love will be reciprocated back to you. So if you want a person to care for you, if you want a person to cherish you, to love you, to value you, and who does not want that in this world? So you care for them, and that energy of caring will just come straight back from them to you, just like the mirror, just like the water. This response, the Alter Rebbe said, is common and intrinsic even when you are dealing with two human beings who are basically of the same stature. Certainly, how much more so, if the one who displayed concern and affection towards you is exalted and is totally superior to you, psychologically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and so forth. He is the most noble of noble human beings. And I am perhaps the most coarse of coarse human beings. And despite this disparity, this human being displays an authentic concern towards me. He really cares about me. I truly matter in his world. So despite the fact that he's totally in another universe, and essentially we don't have any relationship whatsoever, and in his world, I am apparently meaningless or insignificant. Nonetheless, when a person of such a stature cares for you or cares for me, he leaves his exalted domain, as the Alter Rebbe described it so vividly, how he descends to your miserable, disgraceful dump. With his entire retinue, his entire shebang, he comes down to your miserable condition. And he lifts you from that condition and he becomes closest buddies with you. Embracing you, kissing you, and he begins to share with you his innermost aspects and the deepest dimensions of his soul, how much more so does he begin to matter to you? How much more so does his identity become meaningful to you? Even if you had a heart of stone, the Alter Rebbe says. And that means that the Tanya was written even for people who have hearts like stone. Even if you have a heart like a stone, it will melt away in love to this special person who has came into your life. And this entire dramatic story, Kechol Hadvarim Ha'elo, Kechol HaChizoyin Hazeh, this entire tale and this entire vision occurred with the Jewish people, and even more so, that Hashem, who fills all of the worlds and transcends all of the worlds, and furthermore, in whose presence all of the universes are as though they do not exist, like one word, when it is in the intimate presence of a soul, that word assumes no identity and no presence. So in Hashem's intimate presence, everything is as though it doesn't exist. And nonetheless, the Jew, me and you, matters to Hashem so much that he himself descended to the dunghill of civilization, liberating the Jewish people, sharing with them his innermost essence and his deepest self. How? By granting them Torah and mitzvahs, which can be seen as the inner essence of Hashem, or more specifically, the Torah is a divine kiss, and the mitzvahs are a divine embrace, as the Alter Rebbe explained. And now we will continue inside, in the middle of chapter 46. We are up to page 130, three lines from the bottom, after the period. Zog the Alter Rebbe, v'zehu sha'aymrim asher kiddushanu b'mitzvaysof. This is the meaning of what we say, that he sanctified us by his mitzvahs, by his commandments. The text of the blessings that we recite before we perform mitzvahs consists of the words, Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, blessed are you Hashem, our God, the King of the Universe, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvaysof, that he was mekadesh us by his mitzvahs v'tzivonu, when he commanded us either laniach tefillin, to put on tefillin, or al netilas yadayim, to wash our hands, or lahadlik ner Shabbos kodesh, to kindle the Shabbos lights, or al achilas matzah, to eat matzah, whatever it may be. Usually, the word kiddushanu, asher kiddushanu, is translated to mean that Hashem sanctified us, he made us holy through his mitzvahs. But here the Alter Rebbe will explain it in a different way. And as we shall soon see, essentially he's granting us the soul, the neshama, the inner meaning of what it means he sanctified us. Zog the Alter Rebbe, what does Asher Kiddushanu mean? He was Mekadosh us by his mitzvahs. It means Ka'adam HaMekadosh Isha. Like a man who betrothes a wife. The betrothal of a woman in marriage is defined, is termed in the terminology of our sages, Kiddushin. The tractate in Shas, in Mishnayis, and in Gemara that discusses the laws of marriage is defined as Kmesechta Kiddushin, the tractate of Kiddushin. And the Gemara there on Daf Beis, the writer of the first page explained, Daf Beis Amud Beis explains the significance of that term. So the Alter Rebbe says, this is what it means, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvaysof, he was mekadosh us, he betrothed us through the mitzvahs. Like a person, like a man who is mekadosh, who betrothes, who enters into a marriage with his wife. In Likutei Torah, I think it's in Veschanon, the Alter Rebbe's grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek, in a footnote says that the source for this interpretation in Kiddushanu is the Avud Raham. Reb David Avud Raham, who wrote a commentary on the Siddur, in his commentary on the Bracha of Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivonu on the Tilas Yadayim, explains that the Kiddushanu is derived from the term Kiddushin, which is betrothal. Avud Raham passed away. He lived in Spain. He was a student of the Baal HaTurim, of Rabbeinu Yaakov, the author of the Turim. He passed away in Hague, Alofim Kuf Aleph. What would that be in the English? Any historians in the house? Hague Kuf Aleph would be 1341. Yeah, and he lived in Spain, in Toledo. So he explains this on the Tilas Yadayim. It's interesting also, 100 years later, there lived in Spain a Jew whose name was Reb Yitzchak Arama. He authored the famous Akedah, the Akedah's Yitzchak, and in Shar Peches, in the portal 88 of the Akedah, he also explains this at length, that Shei Kiddushanu b'mitzvaysof is connected to Kiddushin, to betrothal. He also lived in Spain about 100 years later. The Akedah passed away 2 years after the expulsion of the Jews of Spain, in Reish Nun Dalet, which is 1494. But here the Alter Rebbe adds his unique emphasis, puts in his flavor, his ingredient to their interpretation. The Alter Rebbe says, what is the definition of betrothal? Ka'odam ha-mekadosh isha, like a man who betrothes a wife, liyos miyuchedes imoy b'yichud gamur, so that she becomes united with him in a complete unity, k'mo shekasuv, as is written. In Bereishis, v'dav agbe ishtoi v'hoyu l'basar echad, and he shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. In the famous words of Bereishis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Chav Dalet, al kein yazav ish es aviv es imay v'dav agbe ishtoi v'hoyu l'basar echad. Thus a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That is the true definition of Kiddushin. You betroth a wife so that you should be able to become one flesh. Zog the Alter Rebbe, that's Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvos of Hashem betrothed us through the mitzvahs, because kach ha-mamish, exactly the same as it is by a marriage, by a betrothal between a husband and a wife. V'yeser al kein la'ein ketz, and even infinitely surpassing the unity of a marriage, hu yichud nefesh ha'lekisai sekes b'teiro mitzvahs, is the unity of the divine soul that is engaged in Torah and the mitzvahs. And not only the divine soul, but v'nefesh ha'chiyunis olavushayin ha'niskarim le'ein, of also the biological, the animating soul, the biological soul, and their garments explained above in chapter 4 and 6 of Tanya, the garments of thought, of speech, of action, ba'ayrein seif baruch hu, as they become united with the energy of the ayrein sof, the unity that is achieved between the divine soul and the animal soul, the biological consciousness of the Jew. and their garments with Hashem as a result of a mitzvah is identical and infinitely greater than even the unity that is achieved between a husband and a wife as they enter into the covenant of marriage, and v'hayu l'basarecha, they become one flesh. That's what happens through a mitzvah. Shekidishanu b'mitzvayisav. You enter into a marriage and you become one. You merge into, so to speak, become one entity with Hashem. V'lachain, therefore, him shil shloima alav ashalim b'shir hashirim. Yichud zeh liyichud chasen v'kala. Therefore, shloima melech in the Song of Songs compares this union of Hashem and the Jew, through Torah and mitzvahs, with the union of the chasen and the kala, of the bridegroom and the bride. And he describes this union, bidveika, with attachment, chasheika, longing, v'chafetza, desire, b'chibuk, with embrace, v'nishuk, and kissing. As anybody who ever studied or read Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, knows, how Shloima HaMelech employs the imagery, the passion, the intensity, the atomic romance that exists between the bride and the groom as a metaphor, as an embodiment for the relationship and the unity that exists between the spiritual chasen and kala, Hashem and the Jew, because all of these elements of the relationship are found in the relationship between a Jew and Hashem through Torah and mitzvahs, asher kidishanu b'mitzvahs, of the mitzvah allows us to become his kala with all of the terms of expression that Alter Rebbe employs. Now he uses five terms. Yeah, that's what he says. He says, V'yeser al kein lein ketz. The betrothal of a husband and a wife, they talk of become one flesh. So the closest metaphor we have for a relationship where two people become one is in marriage, where the husband and wife become, so to speak, one flesh and actually give birth to a child that, like Rashi explains there, that is an integration of both. The unity of the husband and wife create a new person that integrates them both. That's the closest thing that we, that's the closest metaphor we have in the physical world to the relationship that occurs through a mitzvah. Now, these five expressions, daveka, chasheka, chafetza, chibuk, v'nishuk, as usual, Alter Rebbe doesn't tell us why he uses these five expressions. I mean, certainly when you reach Shir HaShirim, one is awestruck and overwhelmed by the vocabulary of Shloima HaMelech. There's no question about it. And certainly when one reads Shloima HaShirim as the Alter Rebbe read it. The Alter Rebbe, as you know, some of you know for sure, was also an extraordinary musical composer. And the songs that he composed around 10 or 15 songs, most of them we know today, are very profound. And one song is on the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim that we discussed a few weeks ago at length in chapter 44. Koil doidi doifek pischili achaisi rayasi yoinasi samasi. Behold, I hear my beloved one pounding on the door. Open up the door for me, my sister, my wife, my dove, my complete one. If you're familiar with that song of the Alter Rebbe, if you ever heard it, we can begin to appreciate what he means, that Shir HaShirim is an expression of that dveika, chasheka, chafetza, chibuk, and nishuk of the Jew to Hashem. Now, there's an interesting medrash. I was looking, preparing this chapter, I was looking for the source of these terms. The medrash is in Parshas Vayishlach, Parsha Pei, Piska Zayin. It discusses the verses that deal with the tragic and painful story of Dina, the daughter of Yaakov, being violated by Shechem. And the Medrash says there that Begimul, Reish Lakish says that Begimul l'shaynes shalchiba chivei v'akadosh baruch hu es Yisrael. Hashem expresses, displays his love to the Jewish people in three terms. Dveika, Chasheika, V'chafeitza. And the Medrash brings psukim for each, and then says that we learn this miparsha shaloisei rasha. We learn this from the story with this rasha and how he violated Dina, the daughter of Yaakov. First it says, Vatidbak nafshei. His soul became connected, clinged, was cleaving to Dina. And then his father, what was his father's name? Chamor, tells Yaakov and his family, Shchem bni choshka nafshe bevitchem. So that's chasheka. And then finally the pasuk says, Ki chafetz bevas Yaakov, chafetza. Dveke chasheka chafetz. And Rababa, the son of Elisha, adds another two terms, Ahava and Dibur, love and speech. It says, Vayehav es hanara, and it says, Vayidaber alev hanaira. And he brings those two terms also in the relationship of the Jew to Hashem. So the Reish is Chachma, Rabbi Eliyahu, Dividash, as well as the Shalah, Rabbi Shaya Haro was the Reish is Chachma in Shara Ava, in Peri Gimel, and the Shalah in his section called Asara Marmaris in the third and fourth chapter that deal with Ava. They discuss at length what is the difference. They discuss what is the difference between Dveika, Chasheka, Chafetz. And first they explain that the five terms there in Medrash, Dveika, Chasheka, Chafetz, Ava, and Dibur, represent the five levels of the soul. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. But what perturbs the Reish Chacham is, what's the difference between Dveika, Chasheka, Chafetz? Is it just a redundancy? What perturbs the Shalah is, we can't find any other place to discover the relationship between the Jews and Hashem only from Shechem. That's what the Shalah asks there, right? Miparsha Shalaisi Rasha, in his terms, Miyitin Tahir Mitame.
I'm saying Mashiachis is in Vilna, it's in Barsha Balak.
Okay. And David HaMelech came from Rus, yeah, and from Mayav, and from Light, and yeah, fine. So, the Reish Chacham and the Shalah explain the difference. They say as follows. Dveikus means attachment. They bring a pasuk in Yirmiyah Yud Gimel, Kasher Yidbak HaEzer El Masnei Ish Kein Yidbakti Li Beis Yisrael. Just like a girdle is attached to the Masnayim, to the loins, to the hips of a person. So Hashem says, I have attached to me the Jewish people. Zogdi Reishis Chachma, a girdle can easily fall off. It's attached, but it's not totally attached. Right? We all know, if you jump around a little bit, especially if you're wearing a silk coat, the girdle easily falls off. So he says, Dveikus means it's attached, but it's not totally attached, that it's inseparable. It can be separated. Chasheka is there to stay. Chasheka becomes tightly connected to that which it is connected to, and it's inseparable. He brings the pasuk in Vayakel, V'chashukeyem kosef, the beams in the tabernacle had tied around them very tight bands of silver. V'chashukeyem, the Radak says, is a band that was tied around it very tight. And he says the point is that it should stay on it and it should become inseparable. It doesn't fall off. So Dveika is a connection, but you can become separated. Chasheik is such a profound relationship that the two are inseparable. Nonetheless, it pales in comparison to Chafetz. You can be connected to somebody. You can be inseparable from somebody. But it doesn't mean that that connection consumes your entire life. It constitutes part of your life, but your life has other interests, other concerns. Chafetza means this overwhelms you. It permeates you. This is your obsession. It's not just you're connected to that person and that's part of your life. This is your entire life. In the words of the Shalai, he says, that's what happened to Shechem and Dina. Ki'ilu hayameis ba'ahavasa. He was dying from the love. Shalai ha'yalei ratzin achir ba'olam ala ratzin zelavat. Chafetza means you have no other desire in the world besides that desire. It's not only addictive, it's obsessive. And in a relationship here on earth, it can be very complicated and very unhealthy. And it can be very destructive, as many people experience on a continuous basis. And the Shalah says that you learn it out, Miparsha Shalai Sei Rasha. And over here, part of the Tanya is based on this, not anymore these chapters. But if you remember when the Alter Rebbe was dealing with the daily struggles of the Beinoni, which... once he hits chapter 37, he doesn't go back to it. Only at the end, the last three chapters, he comes back to the Beinoni. But now the Alter Rebbe takes us to another universe, so to speak. But if you remember in chapter 27, we described the war that the Beinoni has to combat. And he says that don't become depressed from the fact that you continuously have to deal with unhealthy emotions and profane cravings, because that precisely constitutes your mission in life, to subdue the negative impulse. So the Shalom says, Dafke mi parsha shaloi seinaira, a person who's dominated by profane instincts and cravings and urges could think, I have a relationship to what the Alter Rebbe is saying here, Dveika, Chasheika, Chafetza, so mi parsha shaloi seirasha. That's where you learn it from. When you feel you have such a passion, now you know I have to fight it. That's who we're dealing with. We're dealing with people who have such passions in the negative sense, and trying to discover within them the spiritual, allowing them to discover within them their spirituality. I mean, it's a very powerful message the Shalom is telling us here. That the spirituality of Yiddishkeit is dealing with very real people. And real people who can experience profane and very profane thoughts. But the Alter Rebbe adds here, chibuk and nishuk. And I guess he's being faithful to Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim is filled with the imagery of not just psychological, a deeper mental, emotional relationship, but a very physical relationship. Because after everything said and done, Dveika and Chasheika and even Chveitza can remain inside. True oneness is expressed physically in an embrace, and furthermore in a kiss, which, as the Alter Rebbe said earlier and in chapter 45, in a kiss, my spirit merges with your spirit. Unlike an embrace where you encompass each other, in a kiss you internally become connected physically. So this is the chibuk and the nishuk. And this is the asher kiddushanu b'mitzvayisav, that through a mitzvah, we have this relationship with Hashem. There is a famous story of the holy Rebbe Levi Yitzchak of Bardichev. You know, during the month of Tishrei, I mean, there are some years where we don't, according to many traditions and customs, you don't get to put on tefillin for 10 days. The 9 days of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah in the diaspora, and if it's followed by a Shabbos, it's 10 days of a tefillinless spell. And one such year in Bardichev, the night after the Mitzvah Shabbos, Saturday night, the holy Bardichev was so eagerly anticipating coming back to his tefillin, so he couldn't fall asleep. So he stayed up all night waiting for the first streaks of dawn to descend upon earth, so you should be able to immediately jump on the tefillin and don them. And so when morning came, Reb Levi Yitzchak rushed for the tefillin. He took out the tefillin shel yad, the tefillin shel rosh. He kissed them. He donned them, and he right away began davening. And only later did he realize that his hand was gushing blood, as he did not realize that he punched his hand right through the glass case, the glass bookcase where he would keep his tefillin. He didn't even realize, and he took out the tefillin to put them on. Only later did he realize it. Now that describes a dveika and a chasheika and a chafetza. It describes it. For a man in love, 10 days is too long. 10 days? 10 days is 100 years. It's worse than 100 years. It's eternity. That's asheke deshanu b'mitzvayisav. That's something else. But tefillin is tefillin. Yeah. Why does the Torah use the terminology of Oy Sidbuk? I don't think we should ask the question. When we'll finish with Dveikus, then we'll worry about it. Zogdal to Rebbe, and now he comes back to show us how this explains and sheds a new light on the literal interpretation of Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvayisav. So, K'tiv V'zehu Sha'imrim, This is also the meaning of the bracha asher kedushanu b'mitzvaysav, that he sanctified us by his mitzvahs. What does this mean? What does it mean he sanctified us? What does it mean he made us kodesh? You'll say he made us holy, he made us sacred. What does that mean? What does it mean to become holy? Your forehead changes, your nose changes. What is it? What type of job is done on you when you become holy? So the Alter Rebbe says, She'elonu l'maylas kodesh ha'elyon baruch hu. Here he tells us what holiness means, essentially. He elevated us through the mitzvahs to the heights of kodesh ha'elyon, to the heights of the supreme holiness. Which is the holiness of Hashem, of the Holy One, blessed be He, as He is in His essence. His holiness as He is in His essence. What does this mean? What does it mean, Kedusha Sei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the holiness of Hashem? So he says, Kedusha Hiloshen Avdallah. What does Kedusha even mean? So we know that Kedusha is a term indicating separateness. The famous Torah Kayanim and Rashi on the words Kedoshim Tiyu, in the beginning of Parashas Kedoshim, you should be holy. So the Medrash and Rashi say, what does it mean you should be holy? Prushim Tiyu. Kedusha means aloof, separated, distinct. So what does it mean in this context? Masha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Muvdil Me'ayilamus. When we talk about Hashem's Gedusha, it means that aspect of Hashem as He is distinct, as He is separated from the worlds. V'hi b'chinas Seiviv Kol Alamin. This is the level we call Seiviv Kol Alamin, transcending all of the worlds. Masha Einei Yachid L'Islabish Behen. That which cannot clothe itself within the universes, within them, within the Olamos. So when we talk about Hashem's Kedusha, Hashem's holiness, Kedusha Alyon, Kedusha means Havdalah. It's that aspect of godliness that transcends the worlds, that is distinct from the worlds. There is what we call in Zoharic terminology, discussed many times in Tanya, Memale Kol Alamin. Hashem as a force that internally animates, vivifies, invigorates every single aspect of the universe in an internalized way. That energy that tailors itself, it's custom made to every creature, to every being, to every speck of dust, animal, flower, human being, and galaxy. But then there is Hashem's essential energy, so to speak, and that energy totally transcends the vessels, the character, the identity of the universe. It cannot enclose itself and tailor itself within the universe, because the world is not a receptacle, is not a vessel for that energy. The energy that the world is a vessel must contract itself and limit itself, tailor itself to the distinct features of a creature. But Hashem's essential energy is totally transcendental, and that's what we mean by the true Kedusha. So Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvaysav means Hashem was mekadesh us through His mitzvahs. He allows us to have that Kedusha. He elevates us to that Kedusha. He elevates us to that essential energy of Hashem Himself that transcends the worlds. How is it possible that we should be elevated to that sacredness? For through the union of the soul with, and its absorption into the energy of the Endless One, blessed be He, harehi b'maylos u'madregas gedusha saint save baruch hu mamish, the soul attains the quality and the degree of the holiness of the ain save baruch hu mamish. Mamish, that holiness. Why may ach Hashem isyachedes u'miskalelas boyus baruch? Since the soul unites itself with Him and is integrated into Him, and they become truly one through a mitzvah, so therefore the soul becomes permeated and infused with that holiness that cannot usually be enclosed and manifested within the worlds. Because through the mitzvah, the soul becomes absorbed and one with Hashem, with Eir Ein Sof, so therefore the soul becomes permeated and infused with that holiness. V'zeu shekasov. You're saying a good point. The reason you're saying such a good point is, he's saying that the Alter Rebbe said this before in chapter 41 when he was describing the process of L'shem Yichud Kutsha Brichu Ushchinte. The reason I like so much what you said is because over there he adds a line, Ukumay Shakasov L'kamon Pirush Yichud Zeba Arichus Ein Shom. As I will explain later, the meaning of this unity at length, look there. And it's difficult to understand what he means, because in Tanya he doesn't get back to this unity. And many people want to say that what he means is this piece in chapter 46. So, Baruch Shekivanta. But he adds something here, I believe. What does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to be Kaddish? This is what a mitzvah is. Ashay kedishanu b'mitzvah. If you become sacred through a mitzvah or through Torah, what is that? We are familiar with our reality. We're familiar with our bodies very well. We're familiar with the senses of our bodies, with the temptations of our bodies, and we're familiar with the physical environment around us. That's not holiness. That's worldliness. That's earthiness. That's mundaneness. A mitzvah allows us to experience something which is distinctively different than the reality we know in the world. Something separated, aloof, sublime, another type of reality. Because generally, we're familiar, as mentioned, with the physical earth, with our physical identities, and with the mundane reality around us. Asher kidishanu b'mitzvaysav, a mitzvah gets us in touch with Gedusha. We can live our entire life and remain detached, experientially at least, or even truly, from the godliness of the universe. And even if one has a spiritual sensitivity to the godliness and spirituality that animates the universe, to the words that create the story, the person may remain detached from the origin of those words, from the true reality. Asher kedishanu b'mitzvaysav is, have you ever experienced transcendence in its purity? That's a mitzvah. Through a mitzvah you become a godly person. Kedishanu you, he allows you to experience that kedusha, that aloofness, that transcendence, that sublimity. Through a mitzvah a person can feel something of Hashem's reality, which is another type of reality than that which we are acquainted to. You become infused with the reality that's beyond the worlds. The mitzvah constitutes the ability to experience Hashem's reality, to share your life with Him, to experience Him in the world. And that means living a different life. It's getting in touch, not just with the divine energy in the world, but with divine energy that totally transcends the world. That's a mitzvah. Hashem, through mitzvahs, gave us the ability to experience Kodesh HaElyon, to live with Hashem. Now, that's a different type of mitzvah than what many of us are familiar with. One second, that's a good idea. Can you experience it actually? He'll discuss that in the continuation of the chapter. But this is how he defines Kedusha. And this is the double meaning of Kedushanu. Kedushanu, he betrothed us, allowing us and him to, so to speak, become one flesh. And thus, Kedushanu, he allows us to experience his intimacy, his own energy, his Kedusha Alyan. and beyond. Kutcha brichu. Shechina is mamale kol alamin. Kutcha brichu is soiviv kol alamin. Without mitzvahs, without Torah and mitzvahs, we walk the earth, we live on earth, and we're in touch with ourselves, with our own identity. Not even with the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg. More sensitive people can be in touch with the melody vibrating within the universe. But a mitzvah grants you the ability to experience transcendence in its purity. To experience reality in its ultimate. To go back to Kodesh HaElyon, Kedushas Yesh LaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvodei Ba'atzmai. That's a mitzvah. And Alter Rebbe says, V'zeu shekasuv, this is the meaning of the pasuk. In the end of Parashas Kedoshim, V'yisim li Kedoshim, you should be holy to me, ki kadosh ani Hashem. For I Hashem am holy. V'avdil eschem in ha'amim li yisli. And I have separated you from the other people that you should be mine. Now what does this pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim express? The pasuk is giving a reason for the holiness of the Jew. Ve'yisam l'kdoshim, you should be holy. Ki kadesh ani, because I am holy. In other words, your holiness can reflect my holiness. You should be holy because I am holy. Your holiness can reflect my holiness. You can live with my holiness. Now that's a different experience. And what is holiness? Va'avdil eschem. It's the aloofness, it's separation. Va'imer, and there's another pasuk, this is at the end of Parshas Shlach, we say it every day in Krishna, Va'asisim is kol mitzvah, so you should fulfill all of my mitzvahs, v'yisim gdoshim l'lekech, and be holy unto your God, ani Hashem l'lekechim v'goymer. I am your God, I am Hashem your God. And he continues, ani Hashem l'lekechim asher tzeisi eschem eretz Mitzrayim, li yislechem l'lekim, ani Hashem l'lekechim. Zogd Alter Rebbe, Pirush, what does this mean? Kayidei kiyum ha-mitzvahs. Through the fulfillment of the mitzvahs, through v'asisim es kol mitzvaysai, hareini elekash elechem. I become your God, elekechem. In the possessive form, I become yours. And apparently, these two verses he brings, the end of Gedoshim and the end of Shlach, demonstrate the two points he just discussed in Kiddushan B'mitzvosev, and that's apparently the reason he brings these two verses. The first verse of Parshas Kedoshim brings out V'yisim l'kdoshim ki kodesh ani, that your holiness should be like my holiness, it should reflect my holiness. Your holiness is infused with Soiviv Kol Alamin. And the second pasuk brings out that through the mitzvahs is V'yisim gdoshim l'lekechem ani Hashem l'lekechem. I become your God, recalling the relationship created when a man betroths a woman, where she becomes his wife and he becomes her husband. Through the mitzvah, Hashem says, I am your God, I become yours, and you become mine. We merge together like a groom and a bride. Elekeichem, Elekash Elechem. Kemoy Elekei Avram, Elekei Yitzchak v'chuli. Just like Hashem is called in the Torah. And in the Shemoneh Esrei, we say every day, the God of Avram, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov, Shenikra Kein, he's called that way. Mipnesha Avos Hayu Pchinas Merkava Lo Yisbarach. Not that they possessed them in the literal sense of the term. They own them. You'll say, my horse, my car, my computer, my home. Over here is the opposite. Because he possessed them. Because the patriarchs were on the level of a vehicle, of a chariot, just like a vehicle and a chariot. Totally nullifies its ego. And it's nothing but a conduit, a channel, through which the rider can express his vision and his plan and his will. The avos, their entire identity became a conduit, egoless. Just a channel for Hashem's energy. They were nullified and absorbed in His light. they perforated their ego, they nullified it, and thus became a conduit for the divine energy, which is the truth of reality. It's the reality of reality, and it's the reality that transcends reality as we know it. And v'kachahu b'chol nefesh miYisrael. So it is with the soul of every single Jew. B'shas eisikat Torah v'amitzvahs, at the time he is occupied with learning Torah and observing mitzvahs. The exact same condition as with the patriarchs. When the Jew that learns Torah observes a mitzvah, Hashem is called Elokeichem. The difference, obviously, is that by the patriarchs it was throughout their entire life and their entire identity. And by the Jew, it's when he's doing a mitzvah and that part that's engaged in the mitzvah. That at that moment, and that part which is engaged in the mitzvah is nullified and absorbed in the innermost light and energy of Hashem in His essence. And there's no spiritual experience in the world that can bring a person to Kiddushanu. To have the reality of the Creator as it transcends creation. To have the purity of transcendence that's only in a mitzvah or in Torah. The Alter Rebbe once was walking out of his room. The Alter Rebbe was walking out of his room in Liazhna, where he lived. And he overheard his wife, her name was Rebbetzin Sterner, she was talking to a few of her friends. And in the old traditional way that our grandmothers used to refer to our grandfathers, she told her women friends, "Meiner sagt," "Mine says," of course referring to her husband, "Meiner sagt." It's one of those expressions that are almost obsolete today. I think we can all speculate the reason. So the Alter Rebbe, Kedarkei B'Kodesh, fell into a state of transcendental ecstasy upon hearing it. He fell on the ground, and he totally, totally in another world. And when he rose from it, Alter Rebbe would speak in a melody, and he turned to his wife and he says, "Mit ein mitzvah bin ich deiner, mit mitzvahs wiffel is men dem Eberstens." How did I become yours? Through one mitzvah of marriage. With how many mitzvahs do we become Hashem's? And then the Alter Rebbe said, "Seno rena b'nois tziyan," the verse in Shir Hashirim, "Go out and see daughters of Zion." So the Alter Rebbe said, "Seno rena, if I raise gain from zich and zena lekus, it does from bnois tziyin." To go out from yourself and perceive godliness, it's only through the feminine energy, through the daughters of Tziyin, because malchus ma'irerezot, the feminine energy that evokes the highest spiritual levels. And he said that when Mashiach comes, eishes chayel ateres baila, the woman of valor will become the crown of her husband. Miner, that's Elokeichem. You're mine and I'm yours. I'm your God. There's a personal identification. No, I told you we're going to get there, I believe. We're going to get there, mamish now. That's he's going to discuss this right now. This doesn't mean we seize the opportunity, but that's what Torah and mitzvahs are. You want to know what Torah and mitzvahs are? It's Hashem who came down, as he described in the beginning of his chapter, to the dung of civilization, liberated the Jewish people, took them into his innermost chamber, and offers them the opportunity to become, so to speak, buddies with him, if I can use that expression, sharing, wanting to share with them his innermost identity. How did he do it? He gave us Torah and mitzvahs. Asher kedishanu b'mitzvayisav, and that's what the blessing means. Before you do the blessing, before you do the mitzvah, that's what you're saying. That's what you're about to achieve. That level of relationship. Zogid al Terebbe, v'lachein, for this reason, chiv urazal lokum v'lamud mipnei kol oisig b'mitzvah afim hu burva amaret. Something very interesting. This is the reason, I don't know how many of you are familiar with this halacha,